speaking today with Mark Thompson, who is a Democratic candidate for Railroad Commissioner here in Texas. Mark, first question I like to ask candidates is, why are you running for this particular office?
Well, I ran when two people were killed in Wylie, Texas, when their house blew up because of faulty pipeline couplings. I asked the Railroad Commission, when I found out they were responsible for that, the couplings, to fix the problem, and basically they ignored me. They weren't going to do anything about it. I called so many times that they probably were getting angry with me. Finally, someone said, why don't you file an Open Records Act? And I think they didn't like what was happening either with the Railroad Commission, so I filed an Open Records Act. I found out there were 100,000 multi-pipeline couplings or other issues that had been going on with people's deaths over the last several years, and nobody was going to fix the problem. And so I decided I'm going to start saving my money up and run for the office, because it costs like $3,750 to run for the office, and I'm just a middle-class guy, so I don't have a lot of money, so I just started saving my money here and there until I built it up over a year and to file for the office.
So when you talk about pipeline couplings, can you tell me a little bit more about that, and tell me a little bit more about what the Railroad Commission actually does? I think most people hear the name and think it has to do with trains, but it doesn't have anything to do with that. So tell me a little bit more about that.
The Railroad Commission started in the 1800s when the trains actually, the railroad system controlled Texas, and they controlled a lot of the movement, transportation of freight, things like that, and basically they crushed the people. They took, they were really in charge of the state. So the Railroad Commission was trying to get balance back to the people, where they wouldn't control the whole state. And then later on, oil and gas was discovered. That was put on the Railroad Commission's plate. But slowly, the Railroad Commission started being dominated by oil and gas issues. And the money was so pervasive that they started controlling the commissioners. And so now we haven't had commissioners really that haven't been bought and sold or have some kind of allegiance to the Railroad Commission in quite a long time. Also, the Railroad Commission, when it comes to the pipelines in the back of the homes, there's a main pipe in the back, of a home or a front, and there's a pipeline, and what it has been, it's been a PVC pipe, basically. Two PVC pipes with some teeth in it, and they separate a lot of times because the ground is too dry or too wet in Texas, and they pull apart, and the gas leaks out. And that's what's been causing some of these explosions. The gas will leak out. The mercaptan, which is the gas smell, gets filtered out, and when it gets filtered out, the gas goes into the home, you don't smell it, and it builds up in the home. It hits an ignition source later on, blows the house up, and kills the people. But it's been cheaper for an energy company to pay a lawsuit than to fix the problem, and because there's 100,000 of them.
Okay. So, other than the pipelines, what other what is the rest of the scope of what the Railroad Commission actually controls?
It regulates oil and gas production, disposal, surface mining, pretty much anything that is outside of the refineries, outside the gated refineries, the Railroad Commission handles. There's 161,000 miles of pipeline in Texas, and that's a lot. Also, when it comes to regulating gas utilities, their prices, things like that, and distribution points, the Railroad Commission does that also. And there's a lot of other issues. Surface mining when it comes to coal, even uranium.
Okay. What would you say would be your top priorities if you were to be elected to this office?
Well, I know we have a lot of problems in the Railroad Commission. We have 360,000 wells that haven't been inspected in the last 5 years. 40% of them. We have 16,000 uncapped wells right now that haven't been capped.
Talking about like natural gas or oil?
Both. And then we have the Dazeta sinkhole in southeast Texas, which was because of unregulated saltwater injection into the ground. It ate away all the limestone and collapsed the ground. So I also want to work on the saltwater injection, because I'm afraid that's going to pollute a lot of our groundwater, the aquifers. So I want to go ahead and make sure that we can maybe, by reverse osmosis and other things like that, to reuse that water and not just dispose of it so freely into our ground and possibly into our water. I don't want people 20, 30 years down the road, one they get cancer, or while their child has a birth defect because maybe they drank some bad well water. And also, I want to fix the faulty pipeline couplings. I think we could do this over a period of a few years, either geographically or by how old they are, and fix these couplings in the back of the home. homes where no more homes explode, because we've had about, I've been looking at all the records, about 9 deaths by the last decades because of this. So the last decade we've had about 9 deaths, and those were preventable deaths. And someone shouldn't have to worry about their home blowing up because of that. And also, I want to stop all the corruption based on the Railroad Commission. I'm sick and tired of the lobbyists controlling the commission. I'm sick and tired of, like, my opponent took Super Bowl tickets from an energy company. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't be taking tens of thousands of dollars from all these different corporations. I'm sick and tired of when I hear about inspectors, when they go onto the rigs, they get free gifts or they get free lunches and dinners, but nothing happens to them. You know, to me, that's corruption. But how can you say don't do that if you're a commissioner and you take free Super Bowl tickets from an energy company, or you take tens of thousands of dollars? How can you tell them not to do that?
Does the Railroad Commission, what role does the Railroad Commission have to play in sort of the future of Texas's energy infrastructure? For example, the recent proposal that went before the Public Utilities Commission to extend the infrastructure of the wind farms from West Texas to the rest of the state.
It has a lot to do. The Railroad Commission is like on a cutting edge of the future, and it's going to have to change its name. I want to change it to Energy Commission, but also I want the wind farms to be more regional and cooperative, where the citizens have a stake in those wind farms. I don't want to trade a bunch of oil billionaires for a bunch of wind billionaires. I don't want a huge wind farm out of some billionaire's enclave that he controls. I want to make sure that the people have a stake in their own energy future. I also, when some of these transmission lines go from West Texas to these cities, supposedly that underneath a transmission line, they're also going to be allowed to pipe water from certain places. And we've got to really be careful, because when we have these private agencies and organizations that have eminent domain rights, we've got to make sure that they're doing everything that's right by the people of Texas, and everything's above board. Because I don't want to have transmission lines, but also give them eminent domain rights underneath that, where they can put pipelines, you know, pump water, you know, maybe from certain areas into the cities, and they control that too.
Do you see a role for nuclear energy in Texas's future?
I would like to see more green energy before I would see anything like that. I would really want to see more solar, more wind, and I'm really concerned right now. I don't want to see too much. I really don't see too much nuclear or too much coal unless we can really clean it up. I want things that leave very little risk to our environment and to our people.
What about coal? I mean, obviously a lot of our energy these days is powered by coal.
Right.
And while we would like to be less dependent on that, it's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Right.
What should the Railroad Commission do to both get us start moving away from that, but also to ensure that the coal-fired plants that we're using now aren't doing more damage to the environment than they need to be?
Well, every plant should be up to the highest level, modernization. When it comes to scrubbers, when it comes to clean coal technology, it should not be just allowed to be as dirty as possible. We need to clean every one of those up as much as possible. And I would like to see more clean coal technology, but I don't want the people to fund it. Okay, I want those industries, they can work on that technology and fund it themselves to make things better. I think the people of the state of Texas and also the United States have been funding too many other corporations and helping them, get along.
Since we talk about funding, I mean, obviously, the budgetary process in Texas is always a big struggle. Right now, times are relatively good in Texas, though, of course, with the overall economy, that's not necessarily the case. Some of the things that you've been talking about, like more inspectors for the uninspected and uncapped wells, where is the money coming from for that?
Well, what I would like to do is we got to first look at where our resources are in the Railroad Commission, and maybe a lot of times at state agencies, you might have, like, say we have 750 positions. Make sure we're using our positions frugally, to the right groups. Make sure, like, we have enough inspectors, maybe keep within that cap of personnel, but make sure we have enough people doing permits, have enough people doing inspections and things like that, because I realize if we don't get people put in the the permits out in a certain amount of time, the state loses money on revenue, you know, from oil and gas produced. Also, if the permits aren't put out in a timely fashion, we can lose jobs too. So we do lose money when we don't do things effectively in the Railroad Commission. So we need to make sure that the reason we had to borrow $750,000 from our from oil cleanup fund, and that caps those wells and everything else, you know, cleans things up. But we had to borrow that money to go ahead and put more people on permits, and we needed that because permits weren't being filed in a timely fashion. That means and thus that the state loses money from production, not as much oil and gas is produced, and then also we lose jobs because those rigs aren't being operated. Things aren't being drilled.
Now, you don't have a professional background in energy, so you know, what would you say are your qualifications for this office?
Well, the thing is that I had a lot of common sense. When, the other guys that were in office, like Michael Williams, my opponent, he was appointed. He did not have oil and gas background either when it really came down to it. A lot of the people that are appointed don't have a connection. They're basically, because of their political connections, their background in politics, that's why they're appointed. The only one I've ever seen that had anything was Victor Carrillo, that's there now, but his was academic. His was not really a professional kind of business, I believe, in oil and gas relationship. But what's interesting is a lot of times those guys are using their professional expertise in oil and gas for to help the industry and not to help the people of Texas. They're never helping the people of Texas. When we have problems in Cook County with saltwater injection, they didn't do anything about it. They didn't care. And they cared about the money they were getting. They cared about the political funding the commissioners were getting. They didn't care about the people at all. When I saw the homes explode, you know, in Wiley, Texas, and in Cleburne, I fought against that. Even without an oil and gas background, I knew that was wrong. Same thing in Cook County when they had the saltwater injections. I went ahead and, you know, and stood up against that. And I didn't have an oil and gas background, but I knew what was right and what was wrong. I think we lost our sense of what's right and what's wrong because we've had too many insiders in the Railroad Commission right now. We've had too many people under control of oil and gas, you know, corporations.
Okay. You ran in a three-way Democratic primary against two opponents who I think it's fair to say went into the race at least better known than you. Dale Henry, who was the 06 Democratic nominee for Railroad Commission, and Art Hall, who was a two-term city council member from San Antonio. A lot of people, myself included, would have thought that if it was going to come down to a runoff, it would have been between those two, and yet you almost won a majority in the first round. So what do you attribute that?
Well, people saw that I really cared about the issues, and when I went to different places and I talked, I knew what the issues were because I framed those issues because the pipeline couplings, the gas utilities, the other two guys, they spoke and they had knowledge, but there was nothing inside them. They weren't like fired up like I was. When I didn't like the people getting killed in Wiley and Cleburne. I didn't like the industry controlling it and running roughshod over the regular citizens. And I think when people saw that, they liked that. My other two opponents also had connections to the industry, you know, either by direct contact or through family members or something like that. And I did not have that connection. And people don't want any more insiders in the oil and gas industry. They want people who are two citizen candidates who are going to look after them and protect their interests and not go ahead and just be basically a shill for the oil and gas industry. And that's what helped me because I have even someone call me today and they say, I read about you, that you fought against the oil and gas industry. I read that you did this. I saw that you did this and everything. And so people are seeing those things. They're going to the internet. They're checking me out. I think maybe 20 years ago when they didn't have internet, they would have just took whatever some newspaper told them to do. But they have internet now. They can look and see the people themselves and pick their own candidates. And there's not going to be, it doesn't mean as much, you know, now as much money as somebody has. It does help. But they have the internet now and they can check who the candidates are. And
when people go to the polls, it'll be tomorrow when I run on this. How do you want them to look at the, how do you want them to make their decision in the Railroad Commission? How do you want them to see this race?
As one, a person that's an insider, which is Michael Williams, who has been basically a shill for the oil and gas industry. He's controlled by them. He's took Super Bowl tickets from an energy company, you know, and you can't do that, okay? You can't take a ton of money from these interests and then say you care about the people, because if they came up with a problem with a pipeline going through their land, that's a regular citizen, or they're having problems with oil and gas issues or coal issues or any kind of issues when it comes to the pipeline safety, I'm going to see those people the same as I would see that corporation. That corporation's not going to have a bigger standing because I didn't take any of their money. I didn't take the oil and gas PAC money. My opponent took political action money from the oil and gas industry. I didn't take any of that money at all. So that people would know that I'm standing for them and not against, not for the industry. And everybody has an equal footing and everybody's the same there. And I want that people to know that I didn't sell them out, because if I took their oil and gas political money, then I would be selling them out. And I didn't sell them out. I'm here to look after them. I'm here to protect their issues, protect their rights, especially when it comes to eminent domain and other issues. And I'm going to stand up for them.
All right. Mark Thompson, thank you very much for speaking to me today.
You're very kind. Thank you.